Good morning, everybody. Today, I want to speak to you about love. About the love God has for us and the love we must show others. The reading for today is from the book of Hosea, and it's the first three chapters. Now, don't worry, they're not huge chapters, and I'm not going to read them to you, taking forever this morning. However, if you could, it would be great to read that whole passage as we start. It will give you more of an understanding of what I'm sharing with you, and we'll be referring to sections of it as we go. So then, love. Love is a really big word. It's a really amazing concept. Love implies caring for somebody else's needs more than we care for our own. It's a vast word. Love is something that has filled countless poems, countless songs, countless books. It is something that every human being aspires to be loved and to love in return. And as you would imagine, the word love appears many, many, many times in the Bible. Now, the version of the Bible that I use most often is the New International version, and in that word, love appears 686 times. In the New Living Translation, it appears 810 times. And in the King James Version, it's there 546 times. So, regardless of the translation of the Bible we use, it is absolutely clear that God, through his word, expresses the importance of love. Throughout the Bible, God gives us many examples of how, in love, he has powerfully operated in people's lives. And in this, God gives us spiritual lessons and guidance that we can learn from. For instance, the story of Moses. Here we see how God's love for his people enabled them to be delivered from slavery and bondage in Egypt. Then in the 40 years the Hebrews spent in the wilderness, we can see how God loved his people through his provision for them. From the account of Noah, his family and the ark, we see that in love, God provided them with salvation from the judgment that he brought on the rest of the sinful world. But more so than anywhere else, in the birth, life, death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we see how the Father's love for us brings us out of where we do not belong, which is the place of sin, darkness and death, and delivers us to the place of forgiveness, restoration, and eternal salvation. He restores us into relationship with him through love. In Christ, God has provided us with something far better than an ark made of wood. Jesus is our place of safety and security in the midst of the storms and the floods of life. Which makes me think, you know, there was only one door into the ark, a door through which only those with the faith to enter would go in. After all, there'd be no point in going into the ark if you didn't believe it could carry you through the coming flood. God, in his love, has given us one door too. One door to forgiveness and salvation. Only one way to be saved. Repenting and trusting in Jesus as our Lord and Saviour. Now, love has many, many aspects. What I want us to consider together today is the truth that God's people are called to love. But as well as that, God's people are called to love the unlovable. Indeed, we're called to powerfully love the unlovable, those that nobody else will love. And perhaps one of the best examples of this truth in the Old Testament is the prophet Hosea. Hosea was a prophet during the reign of four different kings in Judah, spanning approximately 38 years in the 8th century BC. God told Hosea to marry a lady called Gomer. Now, Gomer could best be described as, well, somewhat promiscuous. There are other words for her. And their life together was an illustration of the pain that God experiences because of our sin and the love he has for us despite our sins. The words of Hosea's prophecy speak about the wrath of a spurned husband and the forgiveness of true love. You see, just like the story of Jesus Christ, the lives of Hosea and Gomer are indelibly linked to love. But hear this, their story is not a perfect love story. It's not the story of pure love that you might expect. We find in this account stories about a woman who was unlovable. Then the story of a woman who abandoned her husband and of the husband who pursues. Indeed, these are the three parts of Hosea's story that I want to cover today. So the first part I want us to see is how the prophet Hosea is called to love the unlovable. If you'll turn with me now to the book of Hosea, starting right at the beginning, chapter 1, and we'll read the first two verses together. The word of the Lord that came to Hosea, son of Beeri, during the reigns of Uzziah, who we talked about last week, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, and during the reign of Jeroboam, son of Joash, king of Israel. When the Lord began to speak through Hosea, the Lord said to him, "Go, marry a promiscuous woman and have children with her, for like an adulterous wife, this land is guilty of unfaithfulness to the Lord." Now, I don't know about you, but I didn't think this was necessarily the way that we would consider to be ideal to begin a marriage. God tells Hosea effectively to go and find a prostitute, a promiscuous woman, as the NIV describes her, and to marry her. Now, this is a real chalk and cheese relationship, a prophet of God and a working girl. It's not going to be simple, you know. It's not going to be a smooth ride. There will be problems. There will be pain. God tells this prophet to marry a woman with a really bad reputation, a reputation for unfaithfulness, a woman who is surely going to break Hosea's heart. The notion of this seems to be bizarre. I mean, even today, as part of their wedding vows, a couple make a promise to be faithful to one another alone, forsaking all others. But even before the marriage takes place, Hosea knows that his wife will never be faithful. Her adulterous behaviour is certain. Gomer will break his heart and bring him frustration and grief. So the question that we have to ask ourselves, even as we begin, is why on earth would God want his prophet to marry a woman like this? And the word tells us why in verse 2, as we've just read. For like an adulterous wife, this land is guilty of unfaithfulness to the Lord. So Hosea married Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, and she became pregnant and gave Hosea a son. Now, Hosea was a contemporary of other prophets like Joel, Jonah, Obadiah, Micah, Amos, and Isaiah. And I have to say, I wonder how much sleep Hosea lost over this command of God. I wonder what impact these words from God had on him. I wonder how many times he might have refused to do as God asked him. I wonder how many times he questioned what God was up to. I mean, can't you just imagine his friends and family coming to see him saying things like, "Hosea, you're a respected prophet of God. Why on earth are you marrying this woman? You must know her reputation. You know what's going on in her life. You know what she does for a living, don't you? Why on earth would you ever choose to marry Gomer?" And you've got to have some sort of respect for those sort of words. But then I can also hear Hosea replying, "The question isn't why I'm marrying a woman like Gomer, but why is a good and loving God married to an adulterous people like you?" Hosea's marriage to an adulterous woman was a living demonstration of God's relationship to his adulterous people. God was showing Israel and Judah that his people were behaving in the same way in how they were living their lives, with other gods and idols, with many other things taking priority over their relationship with God. with the breaking of his laws. All the things that God had told them they should do, they did not. And here is a truth that we all need to hear. In God's view, if we worship or serve anyone or anything other than him, we too are committing spiritual adultery. If we put something or someone else on a pedestal so that it occupies a higher position in our lives than God does, then this is spiritual adultery. Are you hearing this? I want us all to consider what it is that we're placing in first place in our lives. I want us to be honest to ourselves and say, is God first and foremost in my life? You see, if we are occupied putting other things before worshipping or serving God, we are guilty of the sin of idolatry. And idolatry, it can be a very subtle thing. In fact, the more subtle, the more dangerous. Because we might not even notice that we're allowing something to get in the way of our relationship with God. It's easy to allow things to divide us from having a powerful relationship with Jesus. But this is really dangerous. So my question for us all this morning is, what idols have we fashioned in our own lives? To coin a phrase, what is our golden calf? Think about this for a moment. And to help us answer the question, I want to say, what do you do if you have a problem in your life? Are you most likely to immediately speak to Jesus about it or go and write about it on Facebook? Are you so busy reading and writing hundreds of texts, emails, messages or tweets, writing letters, whatever it is, that you just don't have time to read or hear the Word of God? Would Jesus say to you, you say you love me, yet you run to the world as Gomer ran to her lovers? God's message to Israel and to us is also held in the words of Jesus himself from Mark chapter 4, verses 18 to 19. You might recognise this passage. It's the parable of the sowers that we've spoken about a few times. The parable of the sower, which we've spoken about a few times recently. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Oh, folks, we must be on our guard so that we don't get lured away from God by other things, by other notions. We need to ensure that we're keeping him at the centre of our lives so that we can fully, fully know his presence and his power. We can know the real intimate presence of Jesus in our lives day by day, not being tossed around by every wave, but secure in our faith, anchored in our relationship with Jesus. Jesus, the faithful one. And the second point for this morning is this. The unlovable abandons her husband. Gomer was a woman who was looking for love in all the wrong places. Let's look together again at Hosea chapter 2, verses 4 to 5, which says, "Then the Lord said to Hosea, 'Call him Jezreel, because I will soon punish the house of Jehu for the massacre at Jezreel, and I will put an end to the kingdom of Israel. In that day I will break Israel's bow in the valley of Jezreel.'" You see, what we know about Gomer is that she was someone who was not satisfied with her needs being met. She was willing to sell herself so that her wants and her desires could be fulfilled. Isn't that a little like us sometimes? We see some new gadget, some fancy clothing or jewellery, a nice sharp suit, a new TV, a new car, even a new house, whatever it is. And we decide to pursue that instead of God. Gomer had a godly man as a husband, yet her children were products of her adultery. She had a husband, a good man, to share her life with, and still she chose to run after other men. In many ways, God had already given her something good in her life. Yet Gomer behaved as if the blessing God had given her was just not enough. Have you ever behaved as if what God has blessed you with is not enough? Gomer thought that somehow others would provide for her, they'd take care of her and protect her, when God had already given her someone to do all those things. In the same way, God loved Israel, and yet they turned their back on him and tried to find what they wanted in other places and in other gods. So here is the application for us. Anything we put before God can become an idol, which becomes a stumbling block in our relationship with God. Anything that takes us away from God, even for a time, is in danger of becoming like the weeds that choke the spiritual out of us, that stunt our relationship with God. The Bible teaches us that our lives are meant to be lived as a living sacrifice to God. Yet many, many Christians are more willing to sacrifice a powerful relationship with the God who loves them more than they have ever or can ever be loved, than to sacrifice anything that is only temporary, whether that may be comfort, money, prestige, fashion, pleasure, family, fame, or success, whatever it is. Many things can become our focus, our idol, our adultery, or what we choose to run after. So the question I really want us to ask in all seriousness today is this. What are you willing to sacrifice in your life to show your love for God? The Bible teaches us that there is a great cost in following Jesus. Our time, our effort, our devotion, our service, our love, our wants, our daily lives, all of these are meant to be secondary things. Christ is meant to be the centre of our love and our lives. Don't allow other people to come in and diminish your love and worship of God. Don't allow other things to become stumbling blocks in your relationship with the King of the universe. God is the one who gives us love, who provides for us, who protects us. And he warns that he is also the one who can take it away too. Remember the words of Job in chapter 1, verse 21? Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. James chapter 1, verses 17 to 18 reminds us that whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming down to us from God our Father, who created all the lights in the heavens. He never changes or casts a shifting shadow. He chose to give rebirth to us by giving us his true word. And we, out of all creation, are his prized possession. Every good and perfect gift is from God above. And yet, his chosen people still run after other things, seeking love, happiness, peace, joy, and fulfillment in the places they should avoid. And do you see that in a way, Gomer's life is an illustration of the church? The church is called what? The bride of Christ. Gomer was a wife, a bride, who ignored her husband. There are those who call themselves Christians, who are even part of a church, who choose to ignore the will and the word of God. Gomer seems to be a bride who wants the benefits of the relationship with her husband, but none of the responsibilities of being his bride. And again, there are those who want the benefits of a relationship with Christ, the forgiveness of sin, salvation, love, protection, provision, but none of the responsibilities of being his disciple. Loving and serving God, loving and serving others, witnessing, sharing the gospel, tithing, worshipping. You know, it struck me that if you remove Christ from Christianity, you're left with I-anity. A religion that is very prevalent in the world today. It's all about me. Me, myself and I. And this seems to be the mantra of the modern world. What I want, what I need, what I think. Nothing else matters. I-anity. And the truth is that even some Christians love themselves more than they love God. James wrote in his book, chapter 4, verse 4, "You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity with God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God." James isn't referring to physical adultery. He's speaking to people who are putting God in second place to the things of this world. Their spiritual adultery made them enemies of God. Can you imagine what God goes through with us? The pain and the rejection when his people choose to run from him and reject him. And we see parallels of this in Hosea. If Hosea was hurt, did Gomer care? Far from it. When Hosea cried for her, she ran from him. When Hosea loved her, she loved other men. Gomer chose not to care. At times we choose not to care about our Lord, who endured the suffering of the cross for our sins. And when we do this, we bring sadness to the heart of God. When we run off and embrace the things of the world, we are rejecting God's love for us and loving other things. We become like Gomer. Sometimes, as we talked about last week, we try to compartmentalise our lives. This is my married life, this is my work life, this is my hobbies life, this is my friend's life, this is my Christian life. But as we heard last week, this way is not God's way. Christ is meant to be at the centre of every part of our lives. All of our life is meant to be lived for God. We're meant to give all of ourselves to the one we love. Gomer chose to chase after pleasure and forgot her obligations to her husband and her children. If we truly love God, then we must prove it with our words and even more by our actions. We must love him and all his children. Our third and final point is this. Hosea pursues the unlovable woman. Hosea chapter 2 verse 13 says, "I will punish her for the day she burned incense to the Baals. She decked herself with rings and jewellery and went after her lovers. But me she forgot," declares the Lord. She forgot all about me. Can you sense the pain of rejection behind those words? Even in the pain, even in the rejection, though, there's a desire for reconciliation. Verses 14 to 15 say, "Therefore, I am now going to allure her. I will lead her into the wilderness and speak tenderly to her. There I will give her back her vineyard and will make the valley of Achor a door of hope. There she will respond as in the days of her youth, as in the days she came up out of Egypt." Wait, what are you saying? Hold on a second. This woman that is being talked about here has been so unfaithful, she has done her best to get herself rejected at every turn. She has run after other men. She has rejected her love and his love for her. She has brought nothing but pain and hurt. Surely she's not worth the effort. Leave her in her sin. But instead of abandoning her, we read about a pursuit, about love, about a love that wants to bring transformation and hope for the future. When you think about this, it's the most beautiful picture of what God has done in each one of our lives. He didn't just abandon us in our sin, even as we rejected him. Even then, he came to save us, to restore us, to give us hope and a future. What does the Bible say? In Romans 5, verse 8, we read, "But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." What we have here is a picture of our God, the one with such deep love for his people, his bride, that he is willing to do whatever is necessary to redeem us. Hosea knows pursuing Gomer is worth the effort. For Hosea, she is worth being humiliated for. She is even worth dying for. And you are the bride of Christ. You are worth the effort. You are worth the humiliation Jesus endured. You're worth the suffering he endured. You are worth dying for. Oh, folks, do you see? This is not religion. It never was. This is relationship. All through the Bible, throughout history, and in our own experience, God constantly and consistently pursues his people. When we fall away, when we grow cold, when we run in the opposite direction, God seeks us out and we can repent and turn back to him. This is the parable of the one sheep and 100, the lost sheep. Jesus told that parable to show us just how much he loves us. And it's in his love that we are forgiven. It's in his mercy that we are restored. Look at Hosea chapter 3, verses 1 to 2 with me. The Lord said to me, "Go, show your love to your wife again, though she is loved by another man and is adulterous. Love her as the Lord loves the Israelites, though they turn to other gods and love the sacred brazen gates." So I bought her for 15 shekels of silver and about a homer and a lethek of barley. Do you see the amazing love God has for his people, for his church? Hosea goes searching for his wife, who is now once more with someone else. And sometimes it seems we have to go from bad to worse before we come back to God. There's a parallel here with the story of the prodigal son. Sometimes there's a deep descent into sin before we come to our senses. But we have a Father, a Lord and Saviour, who loves us like nobody else ever can or ever will love us. He loves us for eternity. Hosea pays with goods to purchase, to redeem his wife. Jesus too was betrayed. The price he paid for our redemption was much, much higher than what Hosea paid. He paid for our redemption on the cross with his body and his blood. What an amazing expression of love. The pure and holy creator of the universe seeks out the lost, seeks out the fallen, seeks out the unlovable. How could anyone choose not to be in a real, personal, intimate relationship with him? I have one more final observation as we come to a close now. God's people are called to love like Hosea loved. To love like Jesus loves. To love the unlovable so that they might see the love of God. Hosea's love for Gomer was amazing. Christ's love for his bride, his church, is astounding. It is outrageous. Church, this is the model of love that we should employ. Astounding, outrageous love. How much should we love others, other believers and those who don't know Jesus? We should love as Jesus first loved us. This is the love that God calls us to. This is the God-given example. You know, the world right now is aching for love. The world is asking questions in the midst of the pandemic, questions about life, the universe, and who God is. We have the answer, and his name is Jesus. This is how we are to powerfully love our neighbours, our friends, our family, our work colleagues, whoever it is, like Jesus loves. Astounding love. Outrageous love. Reckless love. Church, let's love like this. Let's be Christ for all to see as we choose to love without limits, just as he has loved us. Amen.